he's going on with Howard Stern tomorrow, and Howard isn't, like, there's no one that's calling up Howard saying, oh, Tom doesn't want to talk about this. Like, that's not going to happen. Like, Stern will talk about anything he wants. If Brady doesn't want to give him the answer, that's fine. But he's talking about his love life. He's talking about Bridget Moynihan. He's talking about Giselle. He's talking about Belichick. He doesn't care about Super Bowls, and he's not a sports guy. And right. Howard doesn't even care about Tom Brady. He's had Paul McCartney sit on the couch. He doesn't care about Tom Brady. Here's Bob McKenzie, a TSN Hockey Insider. Bob, you're a big Stern fan. Do you think Howard can get something out of Tom tomorrow, or what?
You never know. You never know until you try. And you know, Howard's a great interviewer, and I think one of the things about Howard now as an interviewer that's different than many years ago, and he'd be the first to admit it, and it was a big part of his best-selling book, where he talked about when he was younger and he would do interviews with people, he would quite often act like a dick. I mean, he wasn't empathetic. He was more interested in trying to embarrass or enrage or get a reaction from somebody than he was in actually finding out the answer. And now he's become a master at just having a conversation and being able to talk to just about anybody. You know, the fascinating thing about Howard Stern interviews is that he could interview somebody you've never heard of, and by the time the interview is over, you're like, wow, that was really good. I learned a lot, and that was interesting. And there'll be a large part of his population that listens to Howard Stern that maybe aren't big football fans, that don't know that much about Tom Brady. So it'll be interesting to see how the whole interview goes, and whether I hear it live or whether I grab it on demand afterwards. I'm kind of looking forward to it.
Yeah, so am I. And I, you know, Howard's not interested in play calls at the Super Bowl, you know, or your favorite teammate, or, hey, where do you like playing on the road?
He might ask him about Robert Kraft in Tampa. You never know.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if that came
Bobby, you—I know you're a deep thinker and you have different thoughts. And Hayes, you can chime in on this too. What is the most important thing? Because me and Jamie are former hockey players that jumped into this. What do you think is the key to, like, the great interviewer guy? What is one thing he does that's mandatory, or is it just something that's natural and they don't think about it?
Yeah, I think it's a little of both. It's equal amount, incredible amount of preparation, and trying to have, you know, some inclination of what it is that you want to find out or interesting stories for them to tell. And that comes with a lot of preparation. And obviously, when you're a guy like Howard Stern, as much as you might do that, some of that on your own, I'm sure you've got people for that and, you know, incredible amounts of research. It's sort of like us when we're on the panel, though. I know we have a huge staff. And if you just say, somebody research that for me, you know, we got Puffy, and he'll do that. Not quite the same, but a lot of it is just natural, and it's natural curiosity, and I think, and again, I think Howard Stern will be the first one to tell you this because I've actually heard him say it before, but, you know, I think the key to a good interview is to be a good listener, and listen to what's being said and don't just have a list of questions and, you know, default to that, because something that your interviewee may say should open a whole new line of questioning. And so it'll be fascinating because obviously nobody's bigger than Brady in terms of, you know, probably what the highest profile athlete in North America, give or take.
Yep.
And Howard Stern's a giant. He's king of all media, man.
With Bob McKenzie, our TSN Hockey Insider. So insider trading took place today. Is anything out there that fans need to hear about, that need to know?
No.
Nothing? Okay, good. We'll leave it there. Good stuff, Bob.
Sometimes you got to be honest a little bit. But, hey, listen, here's the things you need to know very quickly. NHLPA executive board's having a call tomorrow. They're going to decide what to do with their April 15th paychecks. They're going to kick it all back to the league and put it in the escrow pot. They're going to just take it minus the 14% that was being escrow that was being charged against it this season, or pick some number in between to try and mitigate escrow. Nobody really cares too much, but that's nevertheless. But when I say nobody cares, the players care.
Right.
And it's an interesting news story. So, yeah, so there's that. Pierre LeBrun mentioned that some teams are starting to act like, hey, we don't know if we're going to have a season or not. So the Anaheim Ducks are doing exit interviews by phone and getting those done. And if they, you know, if there should be fortunate enough to for the Ducks to find some way to play hockey again this spring, summer, fall, whatever, before the 2021 season begins, whenever, you know, they'll reconfigure or whatever. But in the meantime, they're kind of doing their exit interviews and telling everybody what kind of year they had and getting feedback from them. Bettman was interviewed on NBCSN today by Mike Tirico, and he basically said what he's been saying for a while, that is, listen, nothing is being decided. Nothing's, you know, everything's on the table. Nothing's on the table. I mean, take your pick. Their preference is to still play regular season games. They don't know if they're going to be able to get any of those in, but their preference would be to do that. They and obviously the playoffs, but obviously they're at the mercy of government, health, everybody, all the health and welfare safety officials. And basically that's it.
Do you think peer pressure could play a part in this, Bob, in terms of what other leagues are planning on doing? In case in point, baseball, they might be trying to get started in May, isolated in Arizona. They've been working with health officials in the states that have apparently given them the go-ahead. If baseball gets rocking and then the NBA is like, yeah, we're not far behind, I would think the NHL probably has to follow suit.
Yeah, I would think so. The question becomes, what if it's the other way? You know, what if – see, I don't think baseball starting up necessarily ties to the NHL as much as the NBA. So I'm thinking more along the lines of, you know, if the NBA felt like, yeah, we can go to a neutral site, say Vegas or whatever, and start doing games, made-for-TV games with no fans in the stands, then obviously the NHL would not want to be very far behind and saying, okay, we could do this in our neutral sites that we're picking and try to make this happen. But I'm thinking along, when you asked the question, I thought you were going in the other direction, and that is, what if Adam Silver comes out on May 15th and says, you know what, the hell with it.
Right.
We're not doing anything for the 1920 season. We're done. That's it. We'll see you next fall, and hopefully by then we'll be able to go. I don't know that the NHL would necessarily say, well, if the NBA is not doing it, we're not doing it. They might feel like we've got more, we could run our racetrack a little further here into August or September. Let's wait another few weeks and see. They don't necessarily have to do everything the NBA does, but there has been a little bit of that simpatico so far in everything that's happened.
So the Leafs signed Alexander Baranov out of the KHL, mid-20s. They've been on his, you know, looking at him for a while. Yep. And they finally locked him in, and he's coming over here. And we're working under the assumption he's agreed to the terms because he knows he's playing. So if he's playing, if McKayev gets locked in and he's playing and Hyman's playing and Clifford comes back and Janssen's healthy, it seems to be a logjam at left wing, and only so many guys who can play in the top six or top nine. What does that tell you about maybe what the Leafs are planning on doing come the offseason?
Well, obviously, you know, people are going to think there's that surplus forwards anyway, and maybe there'll be a trade. But honestly, I think you've got to wait to see how Baranov, you know, how he fits in. You know, his numbers in the KHL were not nearly as good as Mikheyev's numbers. And the scouting reports that I've been reading from Europe are that he's probably not as good offensively as Mikheyev is. And we saw that right from the get-go with Mikheyev. I mean, he didn't put up ridiculous numbers, but, you know, he can play with really good players. He can make a play. He can finish a play. He's a really good skater, and he was a really good penalty killer, and he was terrific. So, yeah, they want to get him signed, but obviously you got to see what the cost is going to be on something like that. And I think all we're looking at with the new guy here, Baranov, is, you know, bottom half of the lineup guy, and let's see where he goes from there. You know, Clifford's got a unique role, and I'm sure they're going to want to get him back because, you know, Ray always talks about, you know, when he does a Leaf game and he's between the benches, how quiet bench is. And so I really feel like the organization feels like Clifford really brings them something in the bottom half of the lineup that simply doesn't exist to any great degree. You know, we don't know what's going to happen with Jason Spezza. Is he back or is he not back? You know, and they were running a bunch of different guys there on the bottom half of the lineup. But I mean, not, you know, if everybody's healthy, you know, nothing really changes with your top six or seven.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, that's it. I mean, you got your two centers, your two big right wingers, and Hyman's going to be in there. And I guess it's the same cast of characters we've been debating for quite some time with Kapanen and Janssen. And
yeah, it does give you flexibility. If the guy can play, you know, one more inning, but keep in mind he's on a 1 year deal coming out. That's his entry, end of his entry level. So you know, you got to be careful in terms of trading away guys that have got, you know, guys like Kapanen or Janssen,
right,
because you think you've got something here and that. But you know, there's no question. You know, it may be that there's a surplus up front that would necessitate trading a forward for a defenseman or trading a forward to open up the cap space to get a defenseman through another means, whether it's free agency or what have you.
All right, Bob. Well, we'll do it again later in the week. Thank you for this.
Awesome, boys. Have a good one.
Bob McKenzie, your Hockey Insider.